Welcome to the Personal Injury Marketing Minute, where we quickly cover the hot topics in the legal marketing world. I'm your host, Lindsay Busfield, and today we will be talking about all things video. Very few law firms use video effectively, yet it can be one of the most powerful mediums to get clients in the door. Legal videographer and digital marketing expert Marty Schlesinger is here to talk to us about the best ways to use video in your marketing plan. After 10 years of experience in the legal marketing world, Marty has spearheaded video projects for every facet of web marketing. Welcome, Marty. We're so glad to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lindsay. I'm excited to be here on the podcast.
Well, video is one of the most underused tools in marketing plans today. What are some of the advantages of using video?
Sure, that's a good question, Lindsay. Video is for sure a powerful tool. In the fast-paced content consuming world that we live in, it really should be leveraged as a mainstay and a legal toolkit and a marketer's toolkit or even a lawyer's toolkit. And for some, I know it can be a little bit overwhelming, but I promise you it's not. I'm hoping that throughout the podcast here that I can help address some of the most common questions that folks may have, but also take some of the pressure off some of those that have been wanting to create the video content for yourself, your business, or your law firm.
That's great. What are some of the advantages of using video as opposed to just plain text?
Sure. So video, still images and the written word, they're all effective means for promoting yourself or your business. When we're talking about promoting yourself on social as well as on other platforms, on digital platforms, I think it's important to ask yourself what you're looking to achieve with a post and overall with your brand. In my mind, I sort of do a breakdown in terms of the benefits of each. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the written word is really effective, especially for lawyers when used properly. And, you know, you take, for instance, your client alerts, your lawyer written articles, which are mainstays for a lot of law firms, and something that clients expect now. But what the written word may lack in graphics and visual stimulation, it really makes up for with the ability to describe a topic, however complex. Now, in terms of still images and photography, these are really effective at quickly capturing someone's attention, especially on social. Highlighting an article that you wrote with a relevant graphic is not only expected these days, but it's also a proven tactic to increase views and engagements. You know, for as quickly as your average person will scroll through a news feed these days, you know, it's really a great idea to post an attractive image. It will make the difference. Lastly, when it comes to video, which, you know, I know is a topic here with the podcast, is, you know, it can be really effective if used correctly on your social platforms. Some of the reasons I like it so much is that video is really good at effectively summarizing complex ideas, boiling them down into bite-sized chunks. So that they're digestible. You know, that's really the power when it comes to video. This is in stark contrast to, you know, written word, my first point about written copy. My second point, why it can be so effective, is that video is really a humanizing tool, especially for lawyers. You know, people, the viewers that see you and can hear you, they can now put a face and a voice to who you are, you know, what you do and what you know. And that's really important. This not only enhances your personal brand, but as long as you know what you're talking about, it can instantly make you more credible and position and help to position you as a thought leader in your industry, which really at the end of the day, that's really, you know, what we're all trying to achieve here. And then lastly, I think video provides the opportunity for both the lawyer and the viewer to be a little more authentic. By that, I mean, it promotes engagement, whether that's you're trying to get clicks or likes, or simply just promote engagement through emotion. Video really offers an effective means to strike an authentic chord with someone.
That's great. When the client is looking for an attorney to work with, they are wanting to work with the best in the industry. They're looking for those thought leaders. And they're looking for somebody that they can connect with, and they're looking for that authenticity. And
exactly.
And video is a really great way to deliver all of those in a very condensed way without having to work too hard of reading through all of the.
You're absolutely right. And I have multiple stories of just someone recording themselves. They weren't really comfortable with it, but then they got a call from a prospect or, you know, a thank you note from a client. And oftentimes it makes all the difference with your business.
Absolutely. So when lawyers think about videos, they And in my experience, they are just picturing videos in embedded in their websites. You talked about social. What are all the ways that lawyers can use video to market themselves?
Sure, that's a good question, Lindsay. When it comes to the video embeds on a website, you know, when you use those strategically, it can be an effective means to encourage a call to action from your audience, you know, increase your conversions, you know, a phone call, asking for an email, some sort of a download. But I think it's important for folks to keep in mind that your website is really only one aspect of your online presence, your digital presence. I think video content, when posted across multiple channels, can be a really effective means of driving engagement and your brand awareness. More often than not, the same piece of content, the video that you make and create, that can be shared across all your accounts. And as we go, I can talk a little bit more about the tactics for social and the dissemination for content. But yeah, for sure, it shows you the power and flexibility of creating video content for yourself or for your firm.
Sure. And when I think about website and when I think about social, you know, using video across all these platforms is really important because, again, it's that first touch, that's that first humanization and the first connection many people are making with the attorneys. And so when you are creating a video, how do you actually get people to watch it? You can have the best video in the world. But until you can get somebody to actually click on it and watch the video, how do you get them to make that first touch?
Sure. You know, I feel like that's the age old question is, you know, what you should record, and when you record it, how will you know that your audience will like it, that they'll want to engage with you, that it'll be attractive, all of these things. And especially for a law firm, that's a big question. And just with my experience, you know, it's not always easy and it's not always obvious, but you know, that's a good question. I want to try and address that here is that this should be top of mind when you're looking to generate content. You know, if you say you want to write an article or you want to record yourself, I think, you know, you should think about, do I have a tangible product or an intangible product? And just being able to break that down is helpful. And so let's say you have a tangible product, creating content around how-tos, product walkthroughs or features. These are some tried and true ways that you can really engage your audience. And that's an obvious thing, right? You have a product and you can show it in front of the camera. It's great, shiny. Now, if you're in the professional services industry and you have an intangible product, for instance, a law firm, it becomes critical to focus your efforts on specific topics and themes. So I actually have a list here. I'm gonna list off a couple from my experience, especially for a law firm. Some of the most popular topics and formats that I think a law firm can employ when generating video content. So I'll list those off here. So I have three. So the first one is talking about industry updates or hot button issues. This is really a great way to engage your audience and also make yourself more credible at the same time. It goes back to my previous point, but just recording yourself in your office or you're at home and talking about these topics that are important to clients or your prospects, addressing the issues that are keeping them up at night, that they're really worried about. This is a really quick and effective way to generate targeted quality content. And I hear that time and time again, just really talking about these issues that are extremely important, that are happening here and now, that you can really provide a little bit of analysis for a prospect, for a client, really makes a powerful impact. The next theme that I recommend is the question and answer format, where you would interview another expert. These are the interviews that are common on news channels where you tune in and you see an expert where they're interviewing them and they're answering questions, whether they're in the newsroom there or, you know, they're able to, you know, they're at home coming in via, I guess, a virtual feed. With that said, I think inviting someone in person can be a little bit tricky because now you need to think about more than one camera, the audio, coronavirus restrictions, all of that. So I think to avoid the hassle, I recommend for the professionals that are listening to this, just it's easy enough just to tap into your professional network, you know, find a friend, a colleague, another expert, and just ask them to join you for a Skype call or a Zoom call. Just recording that content can turn, obviously you'll want their approval, but recording that content could become just rich quality content. And as a case in point, Lindsay, what what you're doing here with the podcast is just a fantastic example of that. You know, just two professional colleagues, you know, talking, recording, great content. It's pretty easy, fairly painless.
Absolutely.
And the last format that I found to be really popular, especially on social, is capturing an attendee soundbite using a man on the street sort of style recording. And I understand that that's a little bit harder to do since events aren't really quite as popular these days. But just for instance, as an example, if you're attending an event, what I mean by the man on the street style is that, you know, you're in between the event itself during the breaks, you've got people walking around the floor, they're going to vendors, etc. Just finding someone, grabbing someone, especially if you're hosting or sponsoring this event, it's all the easier just to grab someone in between the break, ask them what they think about the event. You know, what are things that are trending in the industry, some analysis and future trends that they can share with you. I found time and time again that that gets a lot of engagement, posting that to your account, your social channels, that always folks want to see that stuff.
So all of those are really great formats for different video types. But when looking at the content of the videos, what types of topics should personal injury lawyers be covering?
Sure, that's a good question. And I know a lot of listeners are in this field, in this area. So more specifically, I know those themes that I listed off just a minute ago, those are, I guess, more general, you know, if you want to create engagement. But for more specifically for personal injury law firms and lawyers, I think it's really important to emphasize and focus on topics that can answer a lot of these questions that would be keeping your clients up at night, or these prospects, such as, when do personal injury courts reopen? How much is my case actually worth? You know, that's a common question that someone might have. That's a common question that I would have. Does it matter if I'm in this accident, if I'm personally responsible? You know, what do I do? How do I deal with insurance companies? You know, each of these questions can be a topic, an individual topic for your content. So I really wouldn't address more than one at a time, because they're important enough that you can make the video a standalone and folks would be interested enough to click on that, watch what your quick analysis is. You know, you want to tease them just a little bit, you know, don't let them have everything up front, but you'll want to tease them just to let them know that you know what you're talking about, you've created successful outcomes for other clients, and that, you know, you lead the industry in terms of your knowledge in these areas.
Absolutely. It's a great way to showcase that you can add value and that you really are the industry expert on all of the questions. It also shows that you're very much tuned into the questions that they would be having. So I think those are great insights.
For sure.
Videos that you can start with. I'm sure that many personal injury lawyers could come up with a list of 100 questions that answered really regularly. And each of those, as you said, could be a little video segment. Thinking about these small individual questions, how long should these videos be? About how long is somebody's attention span when it comes to asking and wanting to get an answer for this question?
Sure. You know, especially for, it depends what it is, but especially for a personal injury lawyer, if we're just answering a question, I'm thinking that it should be maybe 60 seconds, maybe 90 seconds. You know, I think to answer a question like this, especially if you're not trying to tell them everything there is to know about this topic and about this question, you know, really try to keep this short and sweet. Tell the viewer, you know, the most important things, highlighting the things that they should be thinking about here and now if they've been involved in an accident, if they're going to be going to court, you know, things that are top of mind for them. If you extend past that, you're going to lose their interest. You're going to drone on about things that they may not be important. So if we're shifting away a little bit from the personal injury focus and highlighting that, you know, if we're just talking about general stuff, such as you're promoting a webinar or an event, that's about 30 to 60 seconds, I think. And then if we're talking about things that are a little more complex, such as, you know, perhaps there's a change in the personal injury law and you need to try and analyze that and you want to share that, you know, I think we're talking about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, maybe even longer, depends how complex it is. And lastly, if we're talking about training or anything educational nature, I think at least a couple of minutes, five or more, but it depends on what you're doing, what the goal is here. That's just sort of a rule of thumb for me.
And so as you're thinking about the ideas for creating different videos, and you are getting excited about them and want to go and produce,
Is it something that you need to hire an external agency to film, or is it something that you can do in-house?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and a question that I actually hear quite a lot of. You know, there's pros and cons to having someone in-house, pros and cons to doing it yourself, and pros and cons to hiring an agency. In my opinion, you don't need an agency 9 times out of 10. You know, the only time you would need to hire an agency is you want to do a multi-camera setup. For instance, you're interviewing one or more experts and you want it to look really good. Or you need to create a professional grade, or you're making a TV commercial, essentially. You would need to hire an agency for that. But, you know, taking a step back, with the popularity of smartphones, you know, it may be worthwhile, especially if you don't know anything about it and you want to start creating your own content and you have a smartphone, you know, it may be worthwhile to learn the basics for just cleaning up the recording and then making the post on your own social channel. So just the basics of learning how to trim, just the start of the video, you know, the fluff where you're trying to warm yourself up, clear your throat, and at the end where you're turning off, you know, you're turning off the video on a slow shaky. So just learning how to trim the start and the end is really valuable. And these days, I can't speak to Androids, but I have an iPhone. iPhone makes it really easy where you can just record yourself, and immediately after the recording, you see the option to trim it right there, trim the front, trim the end. And then you have the option to upload to your LinkedIn or your Twitter. It literally takes 20 seconds. So that's really convenient, and it's not that hard. The last thing I'll say on this point is, if you are looking to get something a little more complicated, like you want an animated logo or some sort of a bumper, just something more complicated, then there are options such as freelance sites such as Fiverr and Upwork.com. You know, these are great resources for finding an expert, an editor, just to help you with a project, and they won't usually cost an arm or a leg.
That's really good to know. I know there are a lot of advanced video features that are, I mean, while the iPhone is great and great for production quality and just very simple to use, there are some other things that you can add to a video that makes them a little bit more professional.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And so you have your iPhone. What other equipment do you need to shoot a good quality video?
So I wish I could say it's just a matter of, you know, holding your iPhone in front of you, hitting record, and you've got the best looking thing you can ever have. Unfortunately, it's a little more complicated than that, but it's not that bad. As long as you know, just a few things, you can really enhance the quality of how you look and how you sound. So I'd say there are really three important things that someone can do to enhance the quality of the video. And this comes from over, you know, 10 to 15 years of experience generally in the video and audio area. And those three things are proper lighting, proper audio, and just having a tripod. So if you're able to achieve all three of these, you're set. Lighting, I feel like, is one of those things that we take for granted. You know, it's everywhere, but except on our face when we do a recording, we have these harsh shadows from the fluorescent lights on the ceiling. And, you know, or we find ourselves in a dark corner of a room and then afterwards we're like, why does that look bad? So an easy fix is really to always just be mindful to place yourself facing a window with natural sunlight. You've got that natural sunlight in your face, or you can purchase an external light. Maybe if you don't have a window in that room, you know, just having a light on top of your laptop or a computer just to illuminate the shadows on your face makes a big difference. So for audio, there's two options here. Most people prefer just to use the built-in microphone on their phone or camera, and that's fine. You know, in some cases, it's not, you know, the best microphone in the world, but oftentimes it's good. It's above average. And as long as you're close enough to your phone or your camera when you're speaking, you should be fine. I'd say no more than 2 feet away. I think we've all heard people, you know, we watch the video or hear a podcast where it sounds like someone's talking from across the room and they're like in a hallway. And so it's just a matter of being close enough, having your mouth close enough to a microphone. That's really all it is. The other option for audio is to purchase an external microphone. I'll talk about that in a sec here. But lastly, just a tripod. And I can't stress this enough, you know, in school, this is something a professors, they beat into us, is always use a tripod. And these days, smartphone tripods are pretty cheap and they make all the difference to not have that shaky shot. But even if it's just using your encyclopedias, you use your books, your old law books that you may not be looking at anymore, just to prop your phone up to avoid that shaky shot, that'll be a big deal. And it makes, again, makes all the difference. So I have a couple of the recommendations for the lights, audio, you know, even a tripod, whether you're trying to do a setup at home or in the office. And just to save everyone a little bit of time here, I've created a checklist and a small how-to guide for the folks that are listening to the podcast here. And I've provided it to Lindsay. And Lindsay's graciously agreed to share the guide with you all. It's a free guide, so I'm sure she'll let you know where to find it.
Yep, we'll have a link for you to sign up to join the list to get access to that really fantastic resource list with all of the equipment that Marty recommends, as well as the tips and tricks to how to create a very professional, high grade video for use in your firm and to get more clients engaged. And mm-hmm. So what are some of the tricks that you have for just personal, like what are you going to wear? How do you look more natural? What are some of the things that people should and shouldn't do before they get in front of the camera?
Sure. These are the things, especially when it comes to lighting and audio, you know, they seem obvious, but then when you record yourself, you're like, oh, that doesn't look good. Why didn't I think of that? So, but it's not something to feel bad about. It is, you know, somewhat of an art form, but again, once you know sort of what you should do and shouldn't do, it becomes really easy. So in terms of what you should wear or perhaps not wear, there's a few simple rules that I follow. And this is even working with the lawyers that I've worked quite a bit with in front of the camera. So in terms of the colors that you should be wearing, you know, this usually refers to just your upper half, since that's what folks will see 9 times out of 10, is that wear the colors such as your deep reds, your dark teals, rich greens, your purples, your grays. Those are all colors that work well. You know, the pastels, the rich jewel tones. These, you know, it depends on your skin type, but you want something that will have a good contrast with your skin as well as the backdrop, as well as something that will just look pleasing to the eye for the viewer. The colors to avoid, though, I would say would be pure white, pure black, true green, and true red. It's just something about camera sensors. They don't like these colors and they don't usually look good on camera or, you know, just in general. So I would avoid those. I would also tell people to avoid complicated patterns or stripes on their clothing. Again, this is just a camera sensor thing. Just in general, wear solid colors for your top and you'll be good and you'll look great. In terms of jewelry and accessories, something that's often overlooked is that your jewelry, your watch, any kind of a bracelet you might be wearing will almost always make a distracting noise. So just try to take that stuff off, even if it's like an earring that's hanging low that may make noise. You should know that the microphone will pick that up. And also if you wear glasses and have the option of contacts, that's always the way to go to avoid the glare from the lights. And then in terms of just making yourself look good, one last check before you hit the record button, you know, just check your face for shine. Chapstick is also an industry secret that a lot of news anchors will use right before they're on air, just applying chapstick that will, shiny lips apparently are attractive. So that's a good tip there.
Don't want to have the chap lip showing up. So now that everybody is beautiful, getting ready to get on camera, how do you make it so that you look a little bit more natural and not robotic as you're trying to talk about these?
It's, you know, we all, when we talk to someone in person, it's natural to act natural because that's what we do and that's what we know and that's what we're, you know, we're all human. It's wired in us to do that. But then when we look at a cold camera lens, it becomes, we shut down, we turn off, we turn into a robot. And, you know, so there's a few things that have worked for me over the years and a few things that I've actually worked with lots of lawyers that have worked for them. And if just trying to keep some of these things in the back of your mind and preparing right before you record can be really helpful. So I have three small things here in terms of advice that I think will help folks that are listening. The first one is just to relax and speak naturally. As I said earlier, the tendency is to sometimes be cold and calculated, but what you want to do is just view the lens, view the camera as the neighbor a neighbor of yours. Now, this is just if you're recording yourself and you don't have, you're not Skyping someone, because then it becomes a lot easier. But if you're just recording yourself and you want to do an update, an industry update, you know, just treat them as a neighbor, treat the lens like a neighbor. You're having a conversation and just let things flow naturally. The second point I'll make in terms of natural acting naturally is something that's often underestimated and overlooked is the body language and facial expressions. Expressions and even overexpression, it almost always translates well in front of the camera. So don't be afraid to use your eyebrows, your hands, your face. Be expressive. A lot of folks I find just sort of freeze their face and they just have a monotone voice. So don't be afraid to use all that stuff. Again, translates well. And the last thing I'll say here in terms of acting naturally is just trying to smile. It sounds cheesy, but smiling is really a great way to not only enhance your on-camera presence, but also it improves the likelihood that someone will trust you. And it should never feel forced. Just even thinking about smiling as you speak is enough to organically radiate your tone and expression. And is with the equipment checklist and what to wear checklist that I've added in the document that Lindsay will share with you all, I've added in some points, some advice for acting and speaking naturally here.
That's great. Those will all make a big, big difference. The last thing that you want to do as you plan a really great video is to ruin it by A, wearing the wrong thing or being completely robotic in front of the camera. And both of those things with a little bit of practice and a little forethought can take an okay video to a really fantastic video. Well, thank you so much, Marty, for having us today. If people have more questions or want to talk to you further about videography opportunities, where can people get in touch with you?
My LinkedIn profile is the best place to get in touch with me. I also have an email address. And Lindsay, I think you said you'll help provide that information for folks. But yeah, LinkedIn or send me an email. Happy to answer any questions. If anyone has any questions or concerns or even working on recording the video for themselves at a law firm, feel free to reach out. Happy just to do, you know, pointers for you or even work with you. So yeah, feel free to reach out.
Thank you so much, Marty. We really appreciate your time.